feet.
Oh, so soft fabric. Ooh la.
To events in the Middle East. We were outraged to learn of an IDF strike that killed a number of civilian humanitarian workers yesterday from the World Central Kitchen, which has been relentless in working to get food to those who are hungry in Gaza and, quite frankly, around the world. We send our deepest condolences to their families and loved ones.
Yeah, pretty strong reaction, comments, outrage. That was, of course, retired Admiral John Kirby, National Security Advisor, talking at the White House press conference yesterday. I don't normally watch the White House press conference. I had fallen out of the habit because, you know, there's always so much more. But we are now on 2 weeks without any local meetings. So I'm watching things I wouldn't normally watch because, you know, I was looking for other, you know, sources of information. Actually, it's produced some really interesting stuff that I haven't had a chance to get to with you. I did watch the entire Afghanistan withdrawal hearings with Mackenzie and Millie a week or two ago, and that was fascinating. I'll have that for you, I don't know, the next couple of days. And then the 32-hour work week hearings with Bernie Sanders. That was also fascinating, and I probably wouldn't normally have gotten to it except that we're out of session. Like I said, between spring break and the week after, there's no local meetings to cover. Anyway, with the White House press briefing yesterday, Admiral John Kirby talking about this attack, this mistake on these aid workers, and it really is. This is really bad. Obviously the loss of the seven lives is terrible, but these are people who are trying to provide humanitarian aid inside of Gaza, and they were doing everything that they were supposed to do, apparently. Now, there's still investigations going on to, you know, sort of figure out exactly what happened and how this could go so wrong, but Harzi Halavai, the IDF chief of the General Staff, Israeli Defense Forces, chief of the General Staff, said in a video statement, I want to be very clear, the strike was not carried out with the intention of harming WCK aid workers. That's the acronym for the World Central Kitchen that the group represents. And so it was not carried out with the intention of harming WCK aid workers. It was a mistake that followed a misidentification at night during a war in a very complex condition. In complex conditions, it shouldn't have happened, which is true. I mean, obviously, that shouldn't have happened. And, you know, even, you know, Netanyahu has made the comment that it happened during war. As he said, it happens in war. We will investigate it right to the end. We are in contact with the governments and we will do everything so this does not happen again. But he also said, unfortunately, in the last day, there was a tragic case of our forces unintentionally hitting innocent people in the Gaza Strip, which, of course, the Israelis are doing what they can to make sure that that does not happen. And they did not intend this. But the argument on the other side, you know, the critics of Israeli behavior during the war is, well, you clearly have put this kind of situation in the possibility zone by the way you're prosecuting the war in Gaza. And so even if you did not intend this, even if this was genuinely a mistake, and so far all the evidence seems to point to that, after all, why would they do this on purpose? Again, the most ferocious critics would say something like, well, they would do this on purpose because everything to destabilize Gaza, destabilize Hamas, you know, make it harder to have the war. And, of course, they believe that the Israelis are really horrible, terrible, awful, wicked people who need to be forced off the map and don't deserve any land anywhere. I mean, that's their view. So, of course, they're going to say, well, obviously, this is the kind of thing that Israel does. And the rest of us are thinking, no, it's really not the kind of thing that Israel does, at least not on purpose. That's the distinction. The U.S. in war has done horrible things. Generally by mistake, occasionally on purpose by, you know, I mean, there are wicked commanders in any environment. And so you do horrible things, not as a policy, but as a, you know, result of either error or some individual commander level wickedness or something like that. Or even, you know, individuals on the ground do horrible things. And then we try them and we kick them out of the army. And that's how you handle it. The point is, in war, awful things happen. The difference is, and you always have to keep this difference front and center, is that, for example, when Hamas invaded Israel, they deliberately targeted civilians, elderly women and children, to murder, abuse, rape, kidnap. That was the goal. They hide behind civilians as a way of using the ethical restraint of the Israelis against the Israelis, because they know that if they can put innocent people in the way, that will discourage the Israelis from attacking their militants. If Israel puts civilians in the way, it emboldens the militants. They're trying to get to the, you know, that there really are some very stark, bright line fundamental differences here that can get lost if you don't keep them front and center all the time when you think about this stuff. The fact that, for example, Israel would come out and say, this was a mistake, this is awful, we didn't intend to do this. This is the exact opposite of how Hamas operates in terms of we're trying to kill. I mean, so just don't be misled by the story in producing a conclusion about some moral equivalency between what Israel is doing and what Hamas or, you know, Iran through their proxies in Gaza is doing. Anyway, just it's important to keep that in mind. That does nothing to change the fact that this was an outrageous error. And it was apparently they were properly marked, properly in the right safety corridor. That, you know, this is something the Israelis should have known. This, I mean, every part of this is a horrible atrocity. Okay, they were in a deconflicted zone. Two armored cars branded with the WCK logo clearly on it, according to them. And there's been no evidence that that's not true. But back to Admiral Kirby yesterday talking about this.
We've seen the comments from Prime Minister Netanyahu and from the Israeli Defense Forces about their commitment to conduct an investigation. As we understand it, a preliminary investigation has been completed today and presented to the Army Chief of Staff, and we'll obviously look to see what they discover in this preliminary one. But we expect the broader investigation to be conducted and to be done so in a swift and comprehensive manner. We hope that those findings will be made public and that there is appropriate accountability held.
Yeah, which is all correct. That's the idea of having a civilized nation, is you believe in their processes, you believe in their willingness to investigate appropriately, hold people accountable for whatever mistakes were made, and move on. You know, it's the mark of a barbaric state, the kind of thing that we would expect out of a totalitarian regime like an Iran or a North Korea or even a China or a Russia these days, where you wouldn't trust them to conduct the investigation. You would expect that they have done this on purpose, and you would assume that any conclusions they produce through any propaganda channels would be misleading at least or outright lies at worst. And that's the difference between dealing with civilized states and non-civilized states.
More than 200 aid workers have been killed in this conflict, making it one of the worst for aid workers in recent history. This incident is emblematic of a larger problem and evidence of why distribution of aid in Gaza has been so challenging. But what, beyond the strike, what is clear is that the IDF must do much more to improve deconfliction processes so that civilians and humanitarian aid workers are protected.
All of which are fair comments, including the atrocious number of 200 aid workers having been killed. That's terrible. And the tens of thousands, we have no idea how many tens of thousands, and we don't know which of those were civilians and which of those were militants. Israel says that it's only targeting militants, and therefore we infer that a high percentage of the actual number killed, which we have no idea of it because Hamas is the only one really reporting on this total number, but it's certainly a very large number. The question is, were they militants or civilians? What's the share of the dead that are in which category? Those are all questions that matter. But 200 aid workers is horrible. And at some point, and listen, when it comes to evaluating a war, you have to ask really uncomfortable and, unfortunately, kind of at some point, you sometimes ask mathematical questions. Because if Israel has a right to defend itself, and it does, and if Hamas is evil, and they are, that doesn't mean that anything is allowed. You know, if your neighbor, just because we use this analogy a lot of times in thinking of the philosophy of war, if your neighbor, it's called the domestic analogy, you think about a house, you think about neighbors on a street, how can they behave to each other, generally speaking. And, you know, if your neighbor comes over to your house and, you know, these examples are atrocious on purpose because they're war examples, you know, kills your dog, let's say. You can't kill him. Because though you love your dog, it's only a dog. Okay? If he kills one of your kids, If you catch them in the act, you can kill them to stop it. Afterwards, you can't just kill them. You got to go through a process, a legal process. Now, if there's no such process, which is the analogy to warfare, there's no international process that's available, maybe then you'd be justified in going back and killing him as appropriate justice for what he did to your child. But you wouldn't be justified in killing his whole family because they didn't do a crime. And if you're so angry about what he did to your child, which is, again, a horrible, horrible thing, you're not justified in wiping out the whole block of all of his friends and family. You follow? Like, you have to think about it that way a little bit, because there is a point at which you would say Israel has done too much, or Israel is not doing an appropriate job of distinguishing between combatants and non-combatants in its prosecution of the war. There's always the two big questions in thinking about the justice of war. One is the war itself justified? And the second is the prosecution or the behavior of the warfare justified? And you can have a just war done in an unjust way. You can theoretically have an unjust war done in a just way, but it doesn't typically happen very much in history. Typically, unjust wars are also done in unjust ways, and it doesn't make much difference if it's an unjust war how you prosecute it, other than maybe for the people on the ground and whether they'd be subject to things like war crimes trials. You know, if the war itself is a war of aggression, like Russia invading Ukraine, okay, is a war of aggression. And they are also doing unjust things in the warfare, you know, targeting civilians, that kind of stuff. It wouldn't be okay. It wouldn't be a, you know, nice thing, so to speak, if the Russians, in invading another country illegally, also were just following all the rules of warfare in the process. You wouldn't say, oh, well, that makes it better. Well, it could be much worse, but it doesn't make it okay. You got to get both right. You got to do both the justification of the war and the prosecution of the war have to be correct. And in this case, the justification of the war is correct. The prosecution of the war, in my opinion, is mostly correct. But you have to always have a, there's got to always be a limit. When the war would become unjust, both in scope, because proportionality is a big concept here. You know, again, they kill one of ours, we kill 100 of them. Nope, it's not justified. Okay. Also, in the way you prosecute it, just because they kill your civilians doesn't mean you can kill their civilians on purpose. So always keep those things in mind. And again, there's a big bright line difference in how, for example, Hamas behaves and how Israel behaves. Hamas doesn't apologize for inadvertently killing civilians by mistake. They brag about it because they did it on purpose. And never forget that distinction. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're 64, turning 65, or you're retiring, which can just as well apply to you, and you're going to switch over onto Medicare, that's something that, you know, it's not familiar. It's maybe a little bit unnerving because you've done health insurance your whole life a different way, and now you're going to do this, and you have questions about Advantage and Supplement and Medicaid and prescription drugs and just all of this stuff, whether any, which parts of it apply to you, what you want to, that's why you talk to Ricky Stewart. I've known her the whole time we've lived here. She's a sweetheart. Her whole family does insurance. She does just this particular part of insurance. So give her a call. She's helped a lot of other listeners just like you. If I were 64, turning 65, or retiring, I would be calling her for this purpose. 341-2185, or look her up online at Ricky Stewart Insurance.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Mother's Day, Beer Fest, Jackson's Spring Menu, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes.
You know it's the sheet.
Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles.
It's the sheet.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
That tickles.
Good morning, 626 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Looks like from the News Radio ThreatNet radar that most of the bad stuff has kind of passed us by to the east. You were getting that rain last night. It was just about exactly on time. The National Weather Service over in Mobile said, be ready for something between 11 and 3. And for us, it hit right at midnight at my house, and that's about right. If you look on the map, there is a little system to the south out in the out in the Gulf that looks like it might nip the southeastern portion of Santa Rosa County a little bit, but it doesn't look like it's going to be that bad. Most of the severe weather, like I said, is off towards Panama City now and up into Georgia, and this little cell that's coming behind it looks like it's more likely to hit maybe Walton and Okaloosa County than us with the stronger stuff. If it even lasts that long, we'll see. But if I see anything coming that makes us worry, I'll let you know. 527, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, a magnitude 7.4 earthquake off Taiwan's east coast has led to more than half a dozen now confirmed deaths and several injuries as well. The U.S. Geological Survey made the announcement Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning local time in Taiwan. They say it's the strongest earthquake to hit the island in 25 years. Tennessee officials say the suspect that allegedly killed a man during an Easter brunch has been arrested in Kentucky now. Authorities believe 46-year-old Anton Rucker opened fire in a Nashville coffee shop Sunday, killing a man he'd been arguing with and injuring a half dozen other people. He was arrested without incident at a residence in Kentucky. And pharmacists are struggling to fill Adderall prescriptions across the country. About one in every 10 people that are prescribed Adderall or similar combination drugs to treat ADHD have apparently been affected by this shortage. The health data platform Truveta has been collecting data. They say there's a dramatic drop off in prescription fill rates since the Adderall shortage was first announced back in October of 2022. The average monthly prescription fill rate is apparently 11% lower for the first half of last year than it was the first half of 2022.
So about one in nine, one in 10 just don't get it?
Right. They just don't have it. They don't have it.
Take a number, here's your lottery. That's crazy.
And actually, I know some people who, some kids who are prescribed it for ADHD.
Yeah.
And they go, sometimes you go to try to fill the prescription and just can't get it. They say, sorry, we don't have it. And you'll end up bouncing pharmacy to pharmacy.
My goodness. And I mean, you hope you find it somewhere. But if other people are in the same boat that you are,
right,
or your kid is in, they've presumably tried this as well, and hopefully you're at the beginning of the line, not the back of the line, because somebody's going to be at the back of the line. You got to figure.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I would wonder, based on the, what did you say, the rate was 11% go unfilled?
It's 1 in 10, it looks like, that maybe go unfilled. The rate is about 11% lower. But this data is actually a year back almost as well.
So who knows what it is today.
Yeah, it's probably worse now than it was then.
I wonder if anybody really doesn't get it in the end, or if it just means, if there's 100 tries, so to speak, but there's only 90 kids because parents of 10 had to try twice.
Right.
They would show up as 10 unfilled orders, but the kids did actually get the medicine. You know what I mean?
Possibly.
I think,
yeah.
I don't know how their statistics work.
Yeah, because I don't think it actually, nobody just doesn't get it, but
it's harder to get.
Right. It's a lot more difficult. You're calling around, you got it at this CVS, at this CVS, at this CVS.
Which is not typically the way you
Having your prescription
you
sent around everywhere and all that.
Not typically the way we want to go about this process. All right, David, thanks so much for the updates. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Interesting, just a side note of sorts, that we got some analysis back at the state level that, Visit Florida money that gets spent to generate tourism to come to the state didn't get the same kind of returns it historically gets. because they do it in like 3-year chunks, which makes sense. It's not just 1 year spend, 1 year get. But it didn't get it because the pandemic prohibited a lot of people from engaging in tourism they would otherwise engage in.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden and former President Trump grabbing victories in Rhode Island, New York, Connecticut, and Wisconsin primaries. Both are the presumptive nominees for their parties. Donald Trump on the campaign trail wants to share the stage with the president.
We have an empty podium right here to my right. You know what that is? That's for Joe Biden. I'm trying to get him to debate.
Mr. Trump in Green Bay. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Brussels today for talks with NATO on Israel and Ukraine. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg pleading with Congress to pass more money for Ukraine.
It's in the U.S. security interest to ensure that President Putin doesn't prevail in Ukraine, not least because this will also encourage other authoritarian leaders, including Beijing, to use military force.
Stoltenberg earlier in Brussels. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 67 degrees and mostly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Well, the Pensacola man accused of murdering a man in Daphne over the weekend is now in custody. Joseph Gurley was arrested in Washington County, Alabama. He's accused of fatally shooting Matt Bonnell at an apartment, Aubuhton Park Apartments, that is, on Sunday morning, and investigators say Gurley had a lengthy rap sheet that included several felony convictions in Mobile County, 2 felony no contest pleas in Florida, and he had just been released from the Escambia County Jail on March 20th after violating probation in January. State regulators have approved a request by Florida Power and Light to reduce costs for customers in May due to lower than expected natural gas prices.
Approval of the mid-course will allow FPL to flow back to customers a total of $662 million beginning in May. For a 1,000 kilowatt hour residential customer, this means a monthly reduction in their fuel charge of $7.49.
And that from yesterday's Public Service Commission meeting. FPL executives say this mid-course correction also coincides with a hurricane storm restoration charge, which is dropping off this month. The typical residential customer that uses 1,000 kilowatt hours would see about a $14 difference in their bill. Well, Pensacola city leaders are hoping to open the first phase of the Bruce Beach Park later this month. Mayor D.C. Reeves says their goal date right now is Saturday, April 20th at 10 a.m.
When I say shooting for, the variation of that would be weather-related or Portland Blue installation-related. So if our fallback would be the 27th.
And crews are currently working on installing that Portland Blue bathroom right now. That culminates the $6.3 million project. In addition to the kids' playground, Phase 1 also features shade structures, public lawn areas, and a bridge connecting the park to Community Maritime Park. Phase 2 should be completed later this year. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries led a congressional field hearing in Fort Lauderdale on reproductive rights yesterday, one day after the state Supreme Court greenlighted a 6-week abortion ban. Jeffries says anti-abortion extremism ignores science and constitutional rights.
An extreme group of individuals in this state, led by the current governor, are prepared by almost any means to jam their radical right-wing ideology down the throats of the people of this state.
And the ban will take place on May 1st. The Florida Supreme Court has also allowed an abortion referendum for the November ballot. That'll ask voters to decide whether abortion will be legal up to fetal viability. The referendum needs a 60% approval rate to pass. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Clouds are going to be clearing out through the morning hours. Beautiful afternoon. Temperatures near 72 degrees with breezy winds coming in from the north. As you go overnight tonight, temperatures are going to be dropping near 50 degrees. For Thursday, nice sunny weather with temperatures near 72 degrees for your high. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 67 right now in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 68 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale, this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Gulf Coast VA will host a free PACT Act enrollment benefits event Saturday morning beginning at 8 at the Pensacola VA Clinic. State and local political representatives and vet-owned businesses will be there. The United Way is celebrating 100 years. Join them for their Glitz and Gallop Kentucky Derby Gala Saturday at PSC. See UWWF.org for more information. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3. Good to have you. I see you. I mean, I wish I could. I would love to see you guys. Just be able to see your face and see a smile and see you laugh and know that I was getting you to work in a little bit better mood, a little bit better informed than maybe you would have been otherwise, because that's always the goal. Yesterday, and even if I can't, I can imagine it. So if you smile at the radio right now, I won't feel it. I'll sense that it's true. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and of course, talk to them about a lot of things. And typically on a Tuesday, Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. You had a warrant service on Sturbridge Place. It was kind of I call it a raid. Found a lot of stuff as a result of this. Yeah,
you can call them a raid if you want to. We call them search warrants, but anyway, SWAT team helped our narcotics unit out, they did a search warrant, and we got, I'll read it off here, let's see here, 45 grams of fentanyl, which I don't know, do the math, but just a little bit of fentanyl is deadly.
That's a lot,
45 grams,
yeah.
Quite a bit for that. Certainly trafficking amounts. 337 grams of methamphetamine, 18 grams of MDMA, which is another form of amphetamine, and then two handguns. So we arrested Michael Watts, trafficking in fentanyl, trafficking in methamphetamine, and trafficking in MDMA. For those who are listening, trafficking is that higher charge that you know, there's possession, and then there's possession with intent to distribute, which is sales. And then there is trafficking. That these are the individuals, these mid-level players that obviously can ruin a neighborhood. So there's a picture of it on our Facebook page, a couple guns. Again, we talk a lot about guns and drugs. They seem to want to mix them, and they don't mix well, so... Good to have him off street.
For the longest time, fentanyl was, the way I had understood it, was that fentanyl was a mix-in to other drugs, that it would, you know, you would have maybe your marijuana would be laced with it, or your cocaine, or your heroin, or something else, that it would be always into something else. Is that true? That's what it was? And is that still true, or is it now being marketed as a standalone product?
No, I think it's still true. Again, you could talk to a number of different people in a number of different places, and based on what they've seen recently, they're saying, oh, this is what we're seeing. And so I'll tell you what we're seeing is historically and right now, we see that the fentanyl is stuff that they mix. It's so potent. They mix a little bit of that with some of the other stuff, and then, you know, people get this some sort of euphoria, which I'll never try. But that's what fentanyl is doing now. But it's so deadly because, again, I don't think that people intentionally add fentanyl to it, and you know, just so someone will potentially die from it. I just think that they don't know how much they're putting in. These aren't, you know, this is not in a lab, you know, environment. This is just the people that are selling drugs. These are losers that are selling drugs, and they don't care about people's health. They don't care about their own health. They don't care about other people's health. And so they're adding this fentanyl to people, and we're doing, what, sometimes 2 to 3 overdoses a day because of it.
Is it, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. We were talking about the question of, do you pick up coins off of the, you know, off of the street or whatever, a sidewalk? And Jake had made the comment that he would be worried about, or somebody had made the comment that they'd be worried about fentanyl, you know, a drug being on there, because any small amount. And is it by skin contact with it that it's dangerous? Do you have to inhale it? What is it about it that makes it dangerous? And I mean, I thought it was contact even. That's why gloves, for example, can be so valuable to law enforcement officers.
Yeah, we have precautions, universal mm-hmm. precautions that we use. I know certainly it's in inhale. If you inhale it, you can get that that exposure to it. I think you can get it by touching your, you know, the fingers as well. But you know, it's possible that the people that are experts in this field say you just don't want to put it on your fingers, so that when you wipe your mouth or
when
rub
it
your eyes,
it
might be
yeah.
something to you. So
we all learned during COVID, we put our fingers by our mouths all the time.
Well, yeah. There's videos of people how often they touch their face, right. And you know, face touches 20 times a minute or something crazy
right.
like that.
You also had a kind of an odd incident, a fight at the Boys and Girls Club on H Street, and when you got there, somebody fought with you, right?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So it is Easter. And the Boys and Girls Club, I don't know who organized, I'm still trying to figure this out. They had a huge crowd, several hundred youths and some adults that gathered around the Boys and Girls Club, which is really right across the street from the sheriff's office, right mm-hmm. there on Leonard Street. We weren't aware of this party, and we're trying to figure out how this happened and who organized it. But it was a large crowd, so we get a call that there's a fight and someone's getting injured. Mm-hmm. So our deputy, the initial deputy that shows up there, he does what a brave deputy would do. They go to the location, they even amongst the crowd, and they don't wait for backup. They go to try to help somebody. And so the deputy identifies a female that had thrown a punch at someone.
Okay.
So he grabs her and he's trying to detain her.
In this group of hundreds of
in
people.
In this group of trying to buy hundreds of people.
Okay.
And then as he's trying to grab her, she's resisting. Her mother, who is Shanette Robinson, is trying to pull her away from the deputy,
okay.
which is a crime, by the way. That's the first crime that was committed. But there's so many people around. He doesn't have any backup at this point. They're still in the way, obviously. And then as he's trying to get her cuffed, Shanette Robinson, in a bit of a punk move, attacks him from behind,
this
starts
is the
striking
mom
him,
who was initially
the
trying
mother,
to pull
who's
the
initially,
daughter
right.
away. Okay.
That's correct. So... and then another deputy shows up.
Punched him from behind?
Punched him from behind, yeah. Just reaches around and attacks him from behind. As he's leaning over, trying to detain
the daughter. Okay.
A 100% punk move on her part. And so that, in the midst of all the crowd, another deputy shows up there, and someone hits him with a piece of a cinder block in the back of the head. They throw it again on him. The whole crowd's unruly. Anyway, so we don't make an arrest at the time because a lot of things going on. So we have a warrant for the mama, Shanette Robinson. We put her picture up on our social media platforms, and we're trying to pick her up. She's got a warrant with no bond for battery on law enforcement officer for her activity. And we also should have her on the billboards now, too. I want people to know that we're not going to tolerate this.
Yeah, I'm worried about the cinder block, too. I mean, that's a very serious assault.
Both deputies were injured. Both of them will be okay.
Okay.
But again, you never know. You throw a piece of a brick or a rock.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a cinder block and hit someone in the head. That could end up.
And do we know who that is or have any video?
We have a lot of video.
Okay.
We have a warrant right now for Ms. Robinson. And then other people are expected to be charged as well for this entire melee. At the same time, we're dealing with all this. Pensacola Police Department's there with us because it's close to the city-county line. We hear a single gunshot, or the officers hear a single gunshot. They go over there to find there's a 16-year-old male that has a gunshot wound to the inner thigh area. And reports are from the people that were around there that he shot himself. By accident.
Okay.
Apparently, my thought is that he would have a gun in his waistband of some sort, and mm-hmm. he ended up shooting himself, which happens a lot, by the way, a lot.
A lot
more than you think.
The people who shouldn't have guns and carry them irresponsibly then also wind up with hurting themselves with guns because they're not particularly skilled at the safety and the use of a gun?
Yeah, apparently you can't be cool enough on your own. You've got to think that you're cool enough to have this gun with you, and then you got to show it to somebody, because if you don't show it to somebody, you're not cool enough. So,
well, and there's nothing better than taking a loaded gun out that's ready to fire and showing it to people.
Yeah, look how bad I am.
Yeah.
And then I'll just tuck it in my pants like they do in the movies, and bam, you get shot.
Because things never get caught when you're putting them not in a proper holster.
Well, they have no idea what they're doing. Yeah. They just think it's a cool thing to do. So anyways, that's
and the report. That was at the Boys and Girls
during, during all this thing was going on. That's why these people were able to get away temporarily.
Yeah.
They will not get away for very long. But there was a report that officer-involved shooting and all this. This is how rumors get started. Mm-hmm. And now you know obviously the rest of the story of how what took place. So we have a warrant for Sinet Robinson, and then we're going to have some warrants for some other people that are involved in this whole situation.
And I'm assuming that not just body cam video, but as is often the case in these kinds of situations, lots of people had their phones out videoing all kinds of things. So there's lots of information to work with. Is that fair?
That is more than fair, yes.
It seems like it's always the case. Okay. I did want to get a note of clarification. Someone texted in saying the Boys and Girls Club was not involved. The group had an unpermitted event at the park by the Boys and Girls Club, not affiliated with the Boys and Girls Club. Can you address that? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm in contact with the people that run the Boys and Girls Club, and apparently none of it was sanctioned, from what I understand. There were no permits at all.
Okay.
But they had a Easter egg hunt early that afternoon, and we're trying to determine whether that's what attracted the crowd, which means it would be by the, mm-hmm. the community center that was there. There's a Boys and Girls Club, and then there's a community center right next to it. They kind of share a building.
Okay.
And we're trying to figure out exactly who gave them permission, because I understand that the bathrooms may have been open. So someone either left the bathrooms open or allowed them to use the facility. But either way, it's got to be stopped. We can't have 600-700 people gathering around there, because inevitably something's going to happen.
We also, and I think this is kind of not a story, except for obviously it's a tragic, it's a sad one, but we had a human was found dead on the Ascend property in Cantonment, but no foul play was suspected?
That's correct.
Okay. Which happens more often than we talk about, because people, particularly people that are unhoused, you know, they die and you find them. And I don't know if that was this case, but that's something that's, it's rare, but it's not that rare.
That's true. And I don't know that people truly understand how many suicides we actually work. Mm-hmm. There are natural cause deaths from homeless population.
Sure.
And non-homeless population. And then there are just a high number of suicides that probably should be made more public.
Yeah, you know, it's this longstanding practice of not publicizing out of the fear of getting more of it, you know, normalizing it. But it's also, people don't realize just how pervasive a problem it is. I was in our neighborhood coming home one day, and you had three or four of your Tahoes out in front of a house in our neighborhood, and I stopped by, and it was a suicide. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, there's nothing to report on here, but it's real life that is awful and terrible and burdens people and harms families and, I mean, all of that.
Yeah, we don't talk much about medical conditions, you know, publicly.
Right.
And so there's a lot of medical conditions that are attached to suicide, so sure. We just don't get into it.
Last one, and I think this is my favorite dumb criminal story of the week, just because it's one of those, okay, you had a guy allegedly driving a go-kart on US 29, and in the process of flipping off your deputies, wound up getting tased and fighting with you guys?
Yeah. You know, some people think that rules don't apply to them, and they think, I'll just do what I want to do. So you're riding a go-kart, and the deputy sees you, and it's like, you know what, you can't do that. That's dangerous to everyone. You can't do that. And people need to understand, we get calls on this type of stuff all the time. People riding four-wheelers, crazy. People riding motorcycles.
Kids riding in the street.
Exactly. And I'm not talking about just slow right in front of your house where parents are around. I'm talking about just driving crazy and reckless and just going through stop signs and everything else. In this case, the guy was riding, obviously, illegally on the main roadway.
You can't ride a go-kart on 29?
No, you cannot.
Even if you came from, you know, Sam's or whatever?
Yeah, no, no matter where you're coming from, okay, you can't do that. You have to be proper tagged and registered.
You took the wrong turn off that loop.
Yeah, so anyways, we try to stop him, and he decides, oh, you know what, I'm going to be cool again, and I'm going to flip off the deputies, and deputies don't, you know, so what? We've been flipped off before.
That's allowed. Not the first one. The law protects you.
Yeah, you can do that. And it doesn't really hurt our feelings. I don't really care. So... but then we stop him, and he resists us, which I do care about, and then we end up having to tase him. So moral of the story is, you know, if you get stopped, if you got those blue lights in the back, just go and stop your car and show them a driver's license if you have one. If not, then, you know, deal with that. We can deal with that sort of thing. But one thing is, do not fight with the deputies. Do not resist the deputies. You're liable to get tased or punched in the mouth. That's just, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So stop.
It's, you play stupid games and you get stupid prizes, right? That's kind of the result.
Yeah, you know, it was, oh my gosh, you can't punch someone. Absolutely. If someone punches a deputy or swings at us, you can punch them back.
And I mean, being a law enforcement officer a lot of times involves fighting. You don't have to just take it.
It's not always pretty.
That's right. I wanted to ask you something else, but I just don't think we have enough time. Well, I will ask you briefly. It's not related to anything that's happening here locally, but as I know, you know, the Supreme Court in Florida just approved an amendment on the ballot that's going to decriminalize personal possession amounts of marijuana if we pass it above 60%. And my thought about this is, my perception is that when medical marijuana came in, that dramatically changed law enforcement practice in the state, because you now had to be able to prove that you had probable cause that it was illegal marijuana, not just medical marijuana, in the car. And, for example, dogs that alert on marijuana had to be swapped out for dogs that didn't, because you had to know that it was heroin or something that was illegal. Right. Not. And so that's really had to change practice for law enforcement. If this were to pass, given that we've already adapted to medical marijuana, how much of an impact would this be on your law enforcement practices?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. The initial impact was, again, it wasn't just marijuana. It was also hemp, and there were some other things that had smelled similar to that. And I think we've already made that adjustment. Again, we don't teach our dogs to train on marijuana mm-hmm. scent itself. So because it's been a couple of years now, we've already adjusted to that. While I would not, endorse this
right.
sort of thing, I do think that if it were to pass, and again, I'm a believer in the will of the people, and you vote on laws, we just enforce them.
Right.
I don't think it would be that big an impact on us with traffic stops, because we've already made that adjustment. Now, will it be an impact on communities? Again, look at Denver and look at some of these communities that have it.
Right.
I do think that it will. So I would rather it not okay. pass. However, I don't know that it would be that big of an impact on the traffic stop portion of law enforcement.
Good. And that was my question, so I appreciate that clarification. I still think a lot of people don't even realize that took place, that you guys had to dramatically adjust how you do policing with the canines, because now you couldn't tell from the outside of the car whether it was medical marijuana or illegal marijuana. But you've adjusted to that now, which is the good news.
Right. Well, you know that we have run dogs around cars a lot, and we have to go to court, and mm-hmm. and you know that we have to convince a judge or a jury that you know, this is why we thought there was illegal drugs in that car. And because you can carry medicinal marijuana now and some hemp versions, then that in itself is not a good enough reason.
It doesn't give you probable cause.
Right.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, or putting off thinking about it because you're like me and you figure that you're always better just to hold, well, you know, at a certain point, you realize I'm spending, you know, $500 every other month, or, you know, $1,000 to fix something that I thought I fixed one time already. And, you know, at a certain point, having the older car stops being a bragging point and starts being a mark of you don't do math real well, right? So what do? You go look for a newer car. Well, go to Frontier Motors. Go look around. Go see. You know, you might find out that getting a newer used car, one that's, you know, only 1, 2, or 3 years young and doesn't have a lot of miles and is in good condition with a good price, it might actually be less expensive than keeping the older car that keeps costing you the expenses. I don't know. I mean, it might still cost you money. I don't know. Depends on your car, right? But not only would you get a better car, but you might even save some money in the process. Again, I can't promise. I'm just saying it, you know, certainly is plausible. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care repairs at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner, and your system will be much more energy efficient, too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace.
At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at GulfCoastAirCare.com.
Get it, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food! That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
So when it comes to real estate, trust us at BuySellCannell.com.
That's BuySellCannell.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir, I am.
Plastics.
We are, at this point, shooting for an April 20th opening of the playground and phase one at Bruce Beach. When I say shooting for, the variation of that would be weather-related or Portland Blue installation-related. So if our fallback would be the 27th, the morning of the 27th.
So Bruce Beach is almost done. I did go by there the other day and look at it, and it is completely different than, you know, what I had seen before. Obviously, you know, you had all those wooded areas, you had the big hill, most of that is all gone. It's been replaced with this, you know, awning like corridor and these layered terrace levels, and just it's completely different, fundamentally different. If you've not been down there, it's kind of amazing. And you know, the one thing I really miss the old fort that the guy built during COVID that was in there secretly in the woods, and now that's all gone too. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, a federal appeals court will be hearing arguments over the controversial Texas immigration law today. That would give the state the power to arrest migrants suspected of crossing the border illegally. And apparently nearly a third of Americans don't think either presidential candidate would do a good job with a second term in office.
In the latest Gallup survey, 35% of Americans said only Donald Trump could perform well in a second term. 30% said the same of Joe Biden, but 29% said neither.
Neither. 29%. So things are looking good for my man. Literally anybody else in Texas. That's what I'm saying.
You know the problem with that 29%?
What's
that? They don't vote.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And they don't vote in primaries when it actually matters more, because that's how you select who's available in November.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.